Macaws are known for their impressive size and bold colours. It may be hard to believe, but those colours fit right into a rainforest of exotic fruits and flowers. Macaws are designed well for their rainforest home, from their hard bony tongue used to drill into fruits to a wingspan of more than 1 meter to soar through the forest canopy. But that home has been disappearing, pushing some macaw species into endangerment and extinction. Join Gubby, Kusler and Caro as they visit a parrot-filled sanctuary. An initiative that is saving macaws using innovative ideas as well as some unfamiliar rules.
They tell us do not talk to the birds or to the animals.
And discover some surprising facts about the intelligence of these creatures.
It's been a few years since we've traveled together. There's still so much yet to be discovered.
Human beings can be so cruel towards so many animals.
When you have the opportunity to look into their eyes, to know their stories.
Animals that are rescued here can be released into the wild again, where they're really meant to live.
I hope people get inspired and treat animals with more care and respect.
Less than 10 kilometers from Costa Rica's Pacific coast lies a sanctuary dedicated to repairing the harmful impact of animal abuse and deforestation. Many species of injured animals are welcomed to the Natua Animal Sanctuary. But Natua's specialty is macaws. Today, Gubby, Caro and Kusler hope to get closer than ever before to a bird usually seen darting through the treetops. It's an experience Kusler has been looking forward to since the beginning of the trip.
I'm in love with macaws, and I cannot wait to see all the colors and hear all the sounds that they're gonna make.
Hey, we're here! Let's go!
Oh. I'm coming.
Okay, we're gonna see the biggest birds, the most colorful.
Hola, hola.
Hola.
Hi. Welcome to Natua.
Thank you.
My name is Rodolfo, and nice welcome to Natua. We are here in the rescue center in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. We are programmed to release mainly macaws. In Costa Rica, we have just two species of macaws, the gray-green macaw and the ara macaw. It's a big difference between both of them. One is a green color, mm-hmm. and the other one is in red, blue, and yellow color.
Oh, beautiful.
Very different. Coming in, please.
Thank you.
So, what we're probably going to see today?
Macaws. Many macaws.
Natua's main goal is rehabilitating and releasing macaws so human contact is kept at a minimum. Another goal is educating visitors about how to care for the macaw's environment. The sanctuary staff must carefully coordinate the two goals, balancing tours with maintaining the most successful conditions for the bird's release. And that means visitors must follow some strict rules to give the birds the best chance of surviving in the wild.
I've never been to a place like this. It's the first time. They tell us do not talk to the birds or to the animals. That was quite shocking because as a tourist or as a person that you like animals, the best thing is to have that interaction with the animals, you know? But after a little bit, we started to understand why.
Macaws are extremely social birds, rarely away from their flock of one to several dozen. Macaws spend their entire life with one mate. This tendency for attachment is part of the reason staff at Natua take care to prevent their macaws from becoming too familiar with and dependent on humans.
I also felt like so selfish, you know, because you want that experience, but you don't know if that's the best for the animals.
We are in the Arambibus enclosure, O Lapa Verde. It's 200 meters in diameter, in a circular shape.
So they can learn how to fly long distance?
Yes, that's the idea. We need to make them fly as much as they can. You know, sometimes animals, they get obese in enclosures, and then they have to spend what they eat. And then with a circular shape, they can fly infinity.
Great. Macaws are accustomed to flying as far as 24 kilometers each day in search of food. This innovative circular cage helps them to mimic their natural activity level during their stay at Natua. Some birds are able to be released back into the wild, while others that are already too scarred to survive on their own are allowed to breed so that their offspring can be released.
So how do you prepare them for the wild?
Well, we have one type of macaw specifically that we are releasing them here. That's the Ara macaw or Lapa Roja. We put the babies in a process with the minimum interaction with the humans to see if eventually they can fly for good, you know. Mm-hmm.
And those are probably not going to see them, the babies that are growing.
Actually, now, for example, is the breeding season. They are starting to hatch. Mm-hmm. But in the natural way, with the parents mm-hmm. in man-made nests that we have installed in the trees. Mm-hmm. And then they are there with the parents. Mm-hmm.
So how do you teach them to find their own food in the wild?
The main thing is not to domesticate them. Like not talking to them, not touch them, not treat them like a domestic animal, like a dog or like a cat, you know. And we have some protocols. When we want to release a macaw, what we do is to isolate the macaw, put it in a place where no one can get in there. We create fake trees with all the type of food that they're going to find outside.
Okay.
The protocol is called soft release. Mm-hmm. And once that we see that the macaw is ready, that flies very well, that fight for food, because they in nature they have to fight for
to fight.
Exactly. Yeah. And then we start to release them little by little. But they have to prove us that they are ready mm-hmm. to go. Because if we release an animal and this animal is going to go to somebody else's house, mm-hmm. it's not
That's
working.
It. And how many have you guys released?
In 16 years working here, we released about 80 macaws in total. Those 80 macaws, many of them, they got sexual mature now and they're reproducing by themselves.
How can you monitor that they...
Well, that
Get
is, nothing is perfect in this life. You know, sometimes you need resources, money to continue that. But what we do is to educate the community. For example, now there are different technologies like WhatsApp or things like that. The owners of the lands, they just take a picture and they send me a picture saying, hey, Rolfo, there is a macaw nest in my land. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that we do the inventories. But we don't have any specific technology because we run, you know, a low budget too.
Natua has focused on more than just releasing birds back into the wild. With the help of volunteers, the surrounding area has been transformed into the type of environment that will allow the macaws they release to thrive.
After 16 years being here, this is a huge difference because when we came here, the only thing that was here was a pair of cows eating grass. You know, this was empty with no trees, no vegetation. And we started planting trees since then with volunteers, people coming from all over the world. And now we have like a oasis, like a real sanctuary, you know, providing refuge and protection for all the animals. Well, girls, now we are in the enclosure Carara. This is the second species of macaw in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. This is the Scarlet Macaw or Ara Macaw.
But there's one outside and one just came here. What happened to them?
Yeah, well, they didn't escape. That's the idea. This is the section where we rehabilitate them. And then once that we measure, they are good to fly, you know, outside, we do this. We put them outside. Mm-hmm. And then little by little, eventually, they're going to fly for good.
Uh-huh. So they say kind of hello to their friends?
Pretty much. Pretty mm-hmm. much.
It's a long farewell.
They always have a connection, you know, like you with your friends and your countries, you know, you yes. call them, you send them pictures, all that. Mm-hmm. It's the same here. Mm-hmm. Macaws, they are very sociable. They need yes. to know where is the biggest flock, because where is the flock, that means protection, mm-hmm. food, mm-hmm. and security too.
Yes. Okay? Oh, that's beautiful.
How long do they live?
Well, there are two reasons or two conditions. Mm-hmm. One, in captivity, they can live up to 60, 70 years because they have food every day. If they get sick, they have a veterinarian. They eat, you know, very good nutrients. But in the wild, because of the predators, poachers, you know, they live like a 45 years.
Still pretty long.
Yes. Still pretty long.
Yeah, it is. And they're so pretty.
Oh. Beautiful animals.
We can say we love animals, but loving doesn't always mean touching and hugging and petting. Places like this remind us that we have to love in the way that's truly best for whatever and whoever we are trying to love. In the case of wildlife, it means gaining as much knowledge as we can about how to care for their environment.
This is very special. And I think they're doing a good job, and I admire that. And I think we need to tell people to take better care of animals and environment and nature. So this is very special that I got this feather from one of the macaws that he had lost. We weren't taking it from him. It was just on the floor as a reminder of that special place.
Are macaws too intelligent to be kept as pets? A study from the University of Vienna proved that some large parrots have the intelligence of a 3-year-old human child. Further studies leave researchers debating whether they even use the reasoning skills of 4- or 5-year-old children. Owners are often delighted by the language skills and tricks their macaws can learn. But can humans really provide the home that macaws need in captivity? Gabi Kassler and Caro are determined to find out during an eye-opening conversation with experts at one of Costa Rica's primary bird rescue efforts. Together, they'll meet macaws that have suffered.
Someone was trying to sell it.
Oh.
Yes, in the middle of the city.
And others that are thriving. And Kassler will have an encounter with one of the rarest of the macaw family. Humans have been keeping various parrot species as companions for thousands of years. Ancient Egyptian, Chinese, and Greek societies were known to keep their birds in ornate cages, embellished with precious stones. It's believed the very person who named Costa Rica after its rich coasts, Christopher Columbus, was the first European to see the big and bright macaw. And it wasn't long before the birds were exported from the New World. Now, when many people think of parrots, they first think of a fun pet. But that isn't the case for everyone.
For me, I mean, I'm so accustomed to see macaws flying in the forest. That's what I see since I was a boy of 6 years old. And then I don't see other way, you know what I mean? The macaws, they were born to be flying free in the blue sky, you know. And then to a macaw being a cage is, you know, something that is not really good.
Rodolfo co-founded Natua Macaw Sanctuary to save macaws and teach people about them. And he advocates that parrots should not be kept as pets. One reason is because he has seen the cruel conditions suffered by macaws captured for the pet trade in his own country.
Well, we are here with this macaw. This one was, someone was trying to sell it. Yes, in the middle of the city. They was just carrying her in their hands. Mm-hmm. They clip the wings.
The feathers? Oh, they're very feathers. Short.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can see that.
That's part of the black market. You know, we have a big issues, big problems.
It was confiscated and brought
exactly.
to you.
That right. was confiscated by mm-hmm. the government, the police, and then they brought it here. now she is in, you know, the process of rehabilitation to see if we can put it back into the wild.
Mm-hmm. So the black market, do people just catch wildlife and then sell it, or what's
Yes, the thing is that people, they go to the forest, you know, to hunt animals. You know, in case of the parrots, they take them since they are little and sell them to, you know, people, to use them like pets.
How many chances she has to go back to the wild?
Well, as we can tell, she's being a little afraid of being surrounding humans. She's acting nervously. She's not being domesticated totally. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to try, you know, to bring in a soft release process to see if she can go back. But first, we have to analyze her blood and to see if she's carrying diseases, for example, because we don't want to introduce any pathogen into the nature.
And the feathers, how long will it take to grow so she can fly again?
For about 6 months or a little bit more.
Okay. It's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
And she's going to be here for 6 months.
Once that the feathers are full grown, she's going to be in another type of enclosure, bigger, where she can do exercise and
train the muscles.
Exactly. After that, she's going to be in a flock with the same kind, learning and, you know, little by little.
If everything is okay, how long is the rehabilitation process?
Well, it's about a year, six months. Sometimes depends of how imprinted was the animal.
But average.
Yes, exactly. Wow. We don't know yet.
Maybe you should leave her alone and
give her some privacy. Yeah. Okay, that's perfect. This way, please.
It is now illegal to sell macaws as pets in Costa Rica and to import them into many countries. There are still those who try to sneak them in, but for every wild macaw sold as a pet, many more macaws don't survive being captured or transported. Many people get their pet bird from a breeder instead, but captive-bred macaws maintain their wild traits. Their sharp beaks are incredibly powerful, something the bird may not realize while interacting with a human. In their natural habitat, macaws are accustomed to chewing and screaming all day long, which can make for far more mess and noise than their owner can tolerate. Even for humans who are prepared for these behaviors, there is also the fact that macaws can live to be more than 70 years old.
The users, or the people that are buying those animals, are going to die first, and the animals are going to be lonely, you know, with new owners. And then it's a little difficult life to be living, you know, in that way.
Pet macaws can also become bored and lonely if left alone for hours at a time. This is because these birds need the companionship of a flock, and in a pet situation, humans become their flock. Researchers believe macaws can even sense human emotions.
Another reason is because every organism in the forest has a job. You know, macaws, they have to disperse and they have to destroy seeds also. We need them in the forest. A healthy forest is a forest with macaws.
Is it okay for me, like, I have a nice backyard and I want to put some food, some fruit for the birds? Just want to watch the birds.
Oh, well.
Is it fine?
I think it's not that good. Okay. Because what about if you introduce a germ or a pathogen into the food to a bird that is feeding their offsprings, we can contaminate an entire population, for example. Animals, they have to find a way to survive
in
the
wild. Get their own food in the wild.
Yes.
But humans destroy so much in nature, in their natural habitat, so do you educate people to be, you know, more careful with?
Yes, that's the idea. For example, every time that we go to the schools to talk about animals in extinction, we talk about trees, we talk about preserve all kind of vegetation, because in the end of the day, the trees and the vegetation is the, you know, the resource that the animals need to, you know, to sleep, to make their nests, to eat, all that. The most important is the society here, the local people. They have to understand that macaws are more valuable being living in the trees than being captured in an enclosure or cage. Because in the end of the day, they are the ones that are going to look after the macaws that we are releasing.
There are at least 19 species of macaws. Some, such as the Spixers and Glaucus macaw, have already disappeared from rainforests entirely. Another bird, the hyacinth macaw, has been wavering on the endangered list for years. Conservationists are working to save the few that are left. Hyacinth macaws are native to Brazil, but Natua is the permanent home for two that were rescued. And it's the species Kassler has been most excited to meet.
I had a dream to see a bird. And today, my dream came true. Grew up going to my grandparents' farm in Brazil every holiday. And one of the highlights of being there was to see a macaw or a parrot fly in the wild or on the tree, or sometimes many of them. But there was something missing. There was something missing. I always wanted to see the blue macaw. I heard the story of the blue macaw, those that arrived here in this place a couple of years ago. The person that bought the first macaws at that point was legalized. She could. But the law has changed. You're not allowed to have macaws in your home. And there's a big reason for that. They're going to live longer than us. We're going to die. They're best friends. And they're going to be abandoned because nobody can take care of them anymore. And how sad can that be? If I think about that, as much as I love the macaws, I would never have one in my home. Even if I have a farm, a guest house, it doesn't matter. God didn't create them to be with us. You can just watch them and admire them in nature. That's what they made for.
Years ago, I had the vision to create a nice green place for the releasing birds. You know, now we see the macaws breeding by themselves. We don't need any more incubators or any artificial way to increase the population. But now my vision is to go a little farther in terms of education. Even though that we have different organisms from our different countries, it's the same situation. You know, people having troubles with wolves, people having troubles with lions in their backyards. Here in Costa Rica, jaguars, for example, it's the same situation. And then the idea is to tell them what is happening here, to convince them to look after biodiversity in general.